The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Wednesday, December 22nd, and that means two things. One, this is the only day of the week that there isn't any football on. And two, it's a Brady Quinn football show! Pew, 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 pew!
I'm so thankful we have a week where we've got basically football every day but today. I wish... I don't want to get on a soapbox right now. I know it's the beginning. You got to do a bunch of reads and stuff right now. I wish we could have football in primetime spots throughout the week. Like, I saw it last year. It's been a success. Let's do it.
I mentioned you on HQ when I was on Tuesday. And to be perfectly frank, I'm a little confused about my days right now because there's like it feels like a Monday because you're waiting for the 7 o'clock game.
Dude, I emailed someone, like a business email. I'm like, hey, I hope your Monday's going great. They, at the end of their email response, they go, and by the way, today's Tuesday. I go, oh, it's been that kind of week. Incredibly unprofessional.
Yeah. Somebody, I'm in this group text. It's a super long story, but this group text where like there's a bunch of DGens on there. And somebody was like, I'm live betting ECU +8. And I was like, this may be a new low or maybe a new high for this group thread. If you're live betting ECU basketball at noon on a Monday, they're like, well, one problem, it's Tuesday. I was like, oh my God, it is Tuesday.
It's that time of year. That time of year, man.
But so I saw your tweets about it last Monday during the Monday. And I couldn't agree more. Like, I understand that these games on Tuesday, and first of all, the games that happened last night on Tuesday, I mean, no offense to your other employer, Fox, but like, tell the NFL to have a game. Put one of them on NFL Network at 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock. There's no reason why every one of these games shouldn't be in some sort of primetime showcase. And I understand that Bears-Vikings sucked. That's fine. We'll be begging for Bears-Vikings in March or April.
Thank you. I mean, here's one of the things I'd say too in the defense of the NFL, especially during a week where we've got all these COVID protocols. And in the case of the Browns-Raiders, for example, on Monday night, it didn't even end up allowing Baker Mayfield or Case Keenum to come back and play. Right. It was still Nick Mullins. Like, they got John Johnson back. That was it. Like, the rest of the guys were still on the COVID list. It was like, well, moving it back 2 days still didn't do anything. But I'll say this. The NFL sustains stars or starters being out of a game better than any other professional sports league. If this is the NBA – and you're talking about load management, which I get it. The NBA plays more games. I get that. But the reality is, even bad football is more entertaining than a basketball game that might be competitive that's not, you know, involving stars. That's just the reality of it. It's better than every other sport. That's why it dominates. I don't know why, especially as, you know, we've reached our most recent TV deal. And now if you're looking for any way of squeezing out more money from these networks, you'd say, look, we know the truth. And that's that live events, live sporting events are gold on TV, and especially for ratings. You can't replace that throughout the week. So why not, for player safety, why not say we can eliminate four-day weeks? How do you go about doing that? Well, when you start incorporating Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and having all those days and the ability to schedule those primetime windows, all right, you could stay Friday or Saturday and then leave Saturday for after college football season ends. But when you do that, not only do you kind of create a buzz, but you allow more space between those games or when you're making players play. And then on top of that, like, to me, I feel like you get smaller markets, more national attention in a primetime spot. I think you're going to get more action for gambling. I know casinos would probably love this because people aren't just going to say,
probably hey, love just, this.
Say that again.
Probably love this. They would absolutely love it. I mean, the betting
and fantasy. Think about fantasy and how many more people get more involved if they could sit down and actually watch their players be involved, as opposed to what we see on NFL Sundays with all these 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games.
The Bears Vikings game. I guess that was the actual Raiders. I guess both of those were technically on primetime. But I'm saying, like, my point is that if you put like Bears Vikings, is no one's watching that on if it's 1 o'clock. On like Fox with, you know, Kenny Albert calling it. And I mean, you're tracking it, but you're not, you know, Vikings fans and Bears fans are watching it, but more or less nobody else is watching that. You put it on Monday Night Football. And yeah, again, 17-9, the product isn't entertaining. It, from a people complain on Twitter when the football isn't high school. Hold on.
People just complain on Twitter.
Correct.
So there you go. You could stop right there and then you could add whatever you want after that. People always complain on Twitter. Go ahead.
And look, if the Bears and Vikings game had been 35-31, people would be like, oh, these defenses suck. Like, oh, exactly. You know, they'll find something to whine about when it comes down to it. And look, Matt Nagy, I mean, the 1-5 in the red zone is just not ideal. I mean, that's you'd like to do a little bit better than that. How entertained are you? Oh, by the way, YouTube.com/ Yeah, I did forget about my reads. Spotify, you can leave a 5-star rating on Spotify. They just added it. I mean, why wouldn't you, Brady, build a music service and 10 to 15 years into it, decide to add ratings to your, right. I mean, like, you know, certainly not.
An epiphany that hit them a little bit late, but hey, we're glad you're here.
Yeah, glad you're here. And so they added them for podcasts. So go ahead and hit that 5-star rating for us if you don't mind. And if you're listening anywhere else, 5 stars, of course, on Apple Podcasts are welcome as well. YouTube.com/pick6. Subscribe to the channel. Hit a like on the video if you're watching on YouTube and turn on the alert so you'll know when we go live. We go live on Sunday. Well, Thursday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. My wife is thrilled with this.
That was the only pushback that I actually, well, I wouldn't say pushback because I never really read Twitter mentions or any of the crap on social media, but I did have a prominent sports writer reach out and say, what are you doing? You're going to cause me to have a divorce. And I was like, oh yeah, there are those people who like, they have to actually during football season live a personal life, like where I'm just all about football all the time, NFL, college, what have you. I love watching it. I get kind of depressed in the off season, but that really just transitions to the combine and free agency and all that stuff. So again, like it's not a problem for me. You know, my wife was born into the fact that I was a player when we met. So she knew kind of the schedule for football. And once I got into broadcast, she's like, oh, this really isn't any different. So she's kind of already been used to this sort of schedule.
Correct.
So she knows it's football all the time during football season.
You would think that my wife would be aware of this by now, 10 years into marriage.
I would think so, yeah. But I'm not going to ever question AK, all right?
Yeah, me either.
Especially when you're nicknamed after a semi-automatic weapon. And granted, that's not where the nickname comes from. But when you are, I don't think you mess with that person, right?
That question, she'd be like, my name's AK. People are like, you mean like the gun? It's like, yeah, like the gun. That happens
exactly
very like frequently.
It's like, yeah, I've got, my wife's nickname's Uzi. It's like, nope, don't want to touch that.
Yes.
Right? Don't want to touch Uzi, hand grenade, you know.
Is your wife named Uzi?
No. They used to call her hunting knife back in the day, you know. And I was like, no, those aren't people you want to mess with. Yeah.
My wife, when you absolutely, absolutely, positively need to kill every last MF-er in the room, you call on my wife, the AK.
They called her 50 cal. I was like, well, why is that? Oh, well, you know, she's just absolutely obliterated. Cool.
Not terrifying at all. Her name is Ann Catherine. That's why she got AK, not because of the gun. Anyway, let's talk about, I was going to ask you what you thought about the thrilling conversation about analytics online. And the fun debate everyone seems to be having daily about that, but I really don't want to talk about that.
Well, can we point this out? Because the big stink about the Baltimore Ravens and John Harbaugh's decision in those moments, and the funny thing about it is, who was targeted on both those pass attempts?
Mark Andrews.
Right. Which is interesting, right? Because he's like probably the most dependable, reliable guy, and it just hasn't worked out in either event. Now, granted, in Baltimore's game, you know, Tyler Huntley had Hollywood Brown in the back of the end zone. He'd hit him a number of times, like getting down to that point. So it's kind of weird that he didn't progress, because that obviously is your second progression outside of running. But that was like the odd thing to me, was just how, like, it just so happened to be Mark Andrews too in both those situations. But again, I digress. I've said this forever in regards to whether it's 2-point conversions or fourth downs. You know, there's so many variables that play a part in each of those decisions where we want to lump them together. Like, hey, the Baltimore 2-point conversion versus Pittsburgh, as opposed to this past week, is the same exact situation. It's like, no, it's not. Right. You know, the type of style of defense you're going to see is going to be different. Your matchups are going to be different. You know, how you go about trying to get the ball in the end zone and who's that quarterback is different, right? You had Lamar in one instance, you had Tyler Huntley in the other. So Tyler Huntley is going to feel more comfortable with that two-point play as opposed to what Lamar Jackson feels comfortable with. So there's just all these different, you know, different variables that I think play a role in all of it. And so I think it's really, really hard when you're talking about analytics and really statistics to come up with a firm statistical value of, okay, what percentage of times do we actually convert this? Like, you can look at the numbers, but all right, 4-3 defense versus 3-4, or, you know, whatever the case may be, right? Like, who's on the field, who's not, the weather conditions, all those things, like, they all play a factor. So I just think it's really, really hard to rely purely on analytics. And you kind of have to rely on game flow. And in that instance, I mean, the first thing I'll just say is this. I think you had to go for two most recently versus Green Bay, because 42 seconds is way too much time for Aaron Rodgers. And imagine 42 seconds and you kick the PAT. And so maybe you're thinking Green Bay plays a little bit different, but wouldn't you think with 42 seconds, they also kind of take a lot of risk too, because there's no downside.
If they're trailing by 1 point, well, see, that was the interesting thing, is that somebody made the comment that going for it actually maybe incentivizes Rodgers to be more aggressive because they're losing instead of it being tied up.
I think either way, because in one instance, as a quarterback, at least my thought process is like, yeah, I've got to take all risks and chances because otherwise we're going to lose. But you're also like, in 42 seconds, you're still kind of thinking to yourself, if we don't convert this, we're going to overtime anyway. So, and then you could play into the whole idea of
42 seconds. Aaron Rodgers is trying to get a field goal up. He's 100% losing.
It's not Rodgers is the question there. It's whether or not Mason Crosby hits the kick. Like, right. That's the question in that instance, right?
How long will the kick be? Because he's going to get a kick. He's going to get an attempt at kicking it with Rodgers out there.
100%. So, yeah. Like, I think you definitely justify going for it in that instance with a backup quarterback and at home, where that's probably your best chance. Like, the longer that game goes on, the better chance you give the better team, which is Green Bay in that instance, even on the road, the chance of winning that game. So I completely understand the rationale. And by the way, it's very different than looking at, you know, Lamar Jackson, who's a former league MVP, who's that quarterback going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a divisional point, like all those different variations of things that you can talk about, like, you know, on the road, like, different scenario. You know, it's a different way of you're looking at it. I think you can justify both decisions. Look, it didn't work out. And we've seen things not work out for them before, going for fourth downs in the playoffs. If they're willing to live and die by it, that's fine. And I have no problem with it.
The interesting one from Monday night, or Monday afternoon, I guess. I was surprised by this when I saw it. And we talked about this in the recap. And we can – another AFC North team, we'll get into that in just a second. But the Cleveland Browns had a 4th-and-3 on their own 30. And they punted the ball. The Raiders come down, kick a field goal, win the game, walk off field goal. The at least I saw
analytics said to go for it.
Yeah, and I was really surprised by that. But then I started thinking about it. I was like, actually, it's not that crazy of an idea to go for it, because you end the game if you get it. And the other move is that
where they were giving them a field goal immediately.
Yes, but you had 3 timeouts, which means, you, if you don't get it, you give them a field goal, and then you probably, and then you're getting the ball back with like a minute and a half at least left.
With a third string quarterback.
With Nick Mullins.
Yeah. By the way, you dinked and dunked the entire game. Like, that wasn't really how you kind of stated it. He made a great play, don't get me wrong, and some good throws on the stretch, but like, I don't think that's your winning proposition. And
I agree.
Carr just threw an awful pick. And your defense was really keeping you in that game. And Myles Garrett deserves a lot of credit, by the way, for the way he played through injury in that. But I don't know. I had no issue with that one either. I think they played it out the right way. You know, give credit to Derek Carr. You know, give credit to Carlson, too, for hitting the kick twice, really, after you got iced. You know, you just got to give them credit in that instance, because it takes a lot to overcome throwing an interception, especially as bad as that one was. I know Kurt Warner didn't, you know, he was like, oh, he beat the safety, so that was a good decision. It's like, no, it wasn't. It was a bad throw. The corner was still over the top. Like, he couldn't have put that ball in that much better of a spot where he's going to be able to catch it. So the reality is it was a terrible decision on first and 10 in that instance to take that shot, and it wasn't a great decision in retrospect, no matter how you look at it. So I just think they played their odds the best they could given the scenario.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm going to use DeSean Jackson as the deep threat, not Zay Jones. Just a thought. I'm not an NFL coach. I wouldn't want to tell him what to do, but geez, Louise. Okay, so the AFC North, the Browns are now 6.5-1 to win the division. They would have been in first place if they had won on Monday afternoon against the Raiders. Instead, they find themselves in a very precarious position, a very uncomfortable position. And I don't mean the back of a Volkswagen, Brady.
The Steelers are technically third right now, though, but they have worse odds.
Yes, I think that's because of the Browns' schedule, maybe. The Bengals are the favorites.
Well, probably more Pittsburgh's schedule because they're at Kansas City this next week.
That is correct. It is Pittsburgh's schedule. You're right.
Although Cleveland's at Green Bay, so it's not like that's – I mean, both those teams are probably going to lose.
I don't really like either of those odds there. I just don't – mainly because I don't expect either of them to win the division, but I mean – I don't know that I trust any of these teams. I don't know that I trust any of these AFC North teams.
Here's the better question that I think you should ask in this instance, because honestly, it's so tough to call right now. Like, we'll know between at least Baltimore and Cincinnati, depending on who wins this week's game between those two, who's obviously probably in the driver's seat for the division, right? At least like, that's my feeling. I think it'll be much more clear a week from now. I think the better question is, if you're in the playoffs in the AFC, which one of these teams do you least want to play?
That's a very good question. I would say, I mean, obviously a lot depends on health, but I think right now the team I would least want to play, like in this exact moment, is probably the Bengals.
We're saying though, everyone's healthy, everyone's back.
I don't want to play the Browns.
Wow. Okay.
Because I think, I mean, Baltimore is obviously terrifying with Lamar Jackson, but their defense is just, you can throw on them all day. A fully healthy Browns defense is really good.
Really and good.
If they have all their offensive linemen, Chubb, and, you know, a reasonable option at quarterback, they are a very difficult team to play against.
I feel like Cincinnati's the team I'd pick right now.
Oh, that's who I said, but then.
Well, no, but I'm saying fully healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Even if Lamar's back, all teams healthy, Browns as well, I'd still pick Cincinnati.
Okay. How come?
I think their combination of what they can do, throwing the football, the rushing attack. I think their defense, the way they play. What Trey Hendrickson's gone, 10 games straight or something with a sack? I mean,
he's been awesome.
They've really come along on both sides of the ball all the way around. I just think they're one of those teams that, like, I'm not saying could catch fire, but could kind of surprise you and end up being like similar to the Tennessee Titans and going like a little bit of a run. I don't know that even with seeing the Browns win a game last year in the playoffs, get to the next round, the divisional round, I don't know that I foresee that from them, at least offensively, the way they've looked this year. We're not even giving the Steelers a chance at this point. And it's kind of crazy considering like the year TJ Watt's putting together as maybe defensive MVP. And then you look at, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, and as much respect as you have for what Lamar and what he's done, they just have never improved throwing the football. It seems like for whatever reason, they're just off, and it really just is what it is.
The thing about the Bengals, too, that I don't think is getting enough attention is obviously, we've never seen Joe Burrow in the playoffs.
Right.
Joe Burrow showed us in college in the playoffs that he is more than – and in the regular season, that he is more than capable – of elevating his play on a big stage. And, you know, as much as, you know, when the Bengals had Andy Dalton, you felt like they just weren't going to get a great game from their quarterback in the playoffs. And these one game, you know, showdown, big stage situations with Joe Burrow, I feel pretty confident that he's going to come in there and deal. Cause that's just who he is.
Sure. I mean, we saw it one year, right? I mean, Ja'Marr Chase was a part of that. You know, Dalton finished off his college career well with a big Rose Bowl win going undefeated that year.
Dalton. I'm just saying he never won a playoff.
No. I'm just saying if we're going back to college, it's like, well, like Dalton kind of proved it too, okay. At least for TCU standards and all that from what they had played in. It wasn't on like a college football playoff standard, but It wasn't like he shot.
And then J.J. Watt said, and I took that personally and picked him off to the house in the playoffs, in the NFL playoffs.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. Obviously, like Ben has been there before. Lamar has been there before. So, like, typically in that case, you'd think that you'd rely on the guys who have been there, are more confident, understand what to expect out of it, how different that speed is from even just the regular season speed. But just something tells me, like, they would be able to kind of play dangerously, you know? Like, he's kind of got that knack about him. And so I don't worry so much about him and how he'll perform. I worry about the offensive line, then I worry about the defense. Like, I worry how they perform or will perform versus some of the best teams in the AFC. But I don't have any reservations about him. But I just think the way that team's playing right now, and even, you know, how they're playing right now with a healthy team versus the rest of them, that would probably be my pick right now. But again, we get to see these teams all play each other, so we'll kind of figure it out at the end of the season.
Yes, we will. So if you were betting on – so Cincinnati has the – Cincinnati and Baltimore play this week in Cincinnati. The Bengals still have to play the Chiefs and then at the Browns. Excuse me. The Ravens are at the Bengals, of course. Home against the Rams and home against the Steelers. I mean, all three of these teams – Chiefs, Rams, Packers, Chiefs. I think it might come down – I mean, do we think any of those teams upset one of those high-caliber squads?
I mean, it's hard to think that Pittsburgh or Cleveland will beat Kansas City or Green Bay, respectively. And then this week, I mean, is Lamar back? Is he not? I mean, as good as Tyler Huntley was, it's not quite the same element running the football. Although I will say this, I mean, he coming out of college was a more accurate passer at Utah. He was one of the better deep ball throwers as far as accuracy. But what you didn't see was the athleticism that we saw really versus Green Bay versus Cleveland before that. Because they just didn't run the quarterback like that. It was like just handing off to Zach Moss in a gap-blocking scheme or man-blocking scheme, and then some RPO or take shots or screens. Like, that was it. And now you're watching him going, oh, like, he fits well within the system, too, when you let him run around a little bit as well. But it's not quite to the magnitude of what Lamar Jackson is. No. So, I mean, look, I think this game this week, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and then Cincinnati, Cleveland to finish in week 18. Those are the two games, because I think it's going to be – I mean, I think the Steelers are out. I've said this kind of for a while now. I just don't have much faith in them and being able to win it and watch they kind of prove me wrong and win out the rest of the way. But I think that's where it's won and lost. The winner between Cincinnati and Baltimore ends up being that elimination for the other, and then you see, again, Cincinnati versus Cleveland will end up either playing spoiler for Cleveland or Cincinnati then catapult itself to win the division.
I mean, the Steelers are 7-6-1. That game against Tennessee, the turnovers they got to get back into that game and then to take the lead were some of the flukiest turnovers you'll ever see. It's just like ball pops up in the air, like hits off a helmet, lands in a Steelers player's hands. You know, they end up kicking a bunch of field goals. I agree with you. I don't think they have the juice to rip off. And I think you need 10 wins. You probably need 10 wins.
Or you're 7-1 like Pittsburgh is. I don't know. I mean, that's how the tie comes into play, right?
Yeah. Hey,
let me ask you this, though. Is Baltimore the easiest path? Like, granted, they play on the road versus Cincinnati, but then you're home for your last two versus the Rams and Steelers.
Baltimore could definitely beat the Rams at home.
For sure. And I obviously, they could beat the Steelers at home. So,
yeah.
Like, I look at them and go, like, really this week, like, I think they have the easiest path if you're just looking at their schedule. But something about, like, I mean, Cleveland's got to go back-to-back weeks on the road. But think about the matchup of Cleveland and their rushing attack and that defense, especially without Bakhtiari still. And who knows how healthy Myles Garrett's going to be. And obviously, Tack McKinley's out for the year. But, I mean, that kind of matchup maybe works. Like, where if you could sneak a win versus Green Bay, you go to Pittsburgh, you beat them there before, you did it last year in the playoffs, and then Cincinnati at the end. Like, maybe it sets up well for Cleveland. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just a fan of me, you know, former player, hoping that it works out well for them.
By the way, I was just noticing, because you have behind you, people can see it on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. Subscribe. The you played at Notre Dame and then Cleveland. Very, just like the solid colors. Like, there's no, you know, you don't have, like, tiger stripes on any of your helmets. That's kind of cool, you know, that you're, you know, very traditional Midwestern block color.
Our high school helmets too were like a block black color. We didn't have any stripes or anything like that too, but we did have all these little,
like you don't even have an N on it or a C on it, or, you know,
they're just straight up. Now, what we did in high school, but the difference was you'd get these little shamrock stickers that you end up like, it was kind of like Ohio State, how they used to have the Buckeye stickers.
You get every touchdown you throw, you get a little shamrock.
Something like that. And so like, it would just be decorated by the end of it, which like that, I still think to this day, that's one of the coolest like swag, like low key things ever. When you have a plain helmet and it's decorated with,
and like, you're just all coated. These, yeah. It's like,
coated with real stickers. Good. Like people, you just come out and people are like, that dude just looks different. And you could tell, like, he's got like the war emblem, like everything's on there. Yeah. And some of them would always be like scuffed up just from whatever hit, whatever else happened. Because that's the only thing is you can never clean the helmet because you had all the stickers on. So you wore the war paint the rest of the season.
Yeah, I love it. All right, let's take so to the point on, it feels like maybe Baltimore and Cincinnati is, I know it's not an elimination game, but if Cincinnati wins the game, loses to the Chiefs and beats the Browns, Baltimore cannot jump them because they would have the tiebreaker head-to-head over Baltimore. So it does feel a little like, it's a big one for Baltimore.
It's huge.
It's a huge game for Baltimore to win that one. If they win that, they would then theoretically be in the driver's seat, but Cincinnati could obviously upset. There's a lot to of different ways this can go.
And the crazy thing for Cleveland and Pittsburgh is like they could end up being that team that plays spoiler in Green Bay and Kansas City's bid to have the number one overall seed, like on each side to get that bye. Like this the NFL did a tremendous job in scheduling, but the way it finishes, I mean, look at the NFC East, for example. I know we're not talking about that, but like both, I think Washington and Philly have four straight NFC East games to finish the season. Like,
yeah,
Dallas is in the clear lead, but technically, like, I can't remember if it's Philly or Washington. One of the two is not out of it. Like,
correct.
They literally can still, you know, get back in this thing.
So the NFC, let me look it up. I mean, who cares what we're supposed to talk about on this podcast? We can do whatever we want. Washington is 40-1 to win the division. Philly. I guess Philly is eliminated from winning the division. That's weird that they don't have any odds.
You may have to edit this out, though, because they do play tonight.
Oh, that's true. You know what? Let's not talk about the NFC. Don't worry about editing it out. We record this on Tuesdays for people that don't know. We're traveling into the future for the Brady Quinn Football Show. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll discuss. We'll clean up some news items.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, so when we were last talked, Urban Meyer had not been fired, right?
No, I believe he had been by then.
Had he? He was fired at on a, let's see.
Well, I do remember seeing a meme going around from Friday that said you got fired on your day off, which Tuesday tends to be the off day, but I could be wrong.
He got fired on December 16th. So a week ago would have been the he had not been fired when we were podcasting last. He was just about to get fired.
Okay.
It was like under fire, and people were expecting the kicker thing had just come out. Now, at the risk of getting more tweets, do you want to?
Did you get a lot of tweets about that? A lot of pushback from our Twitter folks.
Yeah, the people were tweeting me about that show. That and of course the timing again. You know, anyway, whatever. So,
the reality is here's what's come out since. It's now come out that he got fired with cause, right?
Yeah.
Which is what I told you in the first place. But the problem is it can't be Josh Lambeau's situation, regardless of what you want to read into that. Which, I mean, this happened before a preseason game. There's no way he legitimately kicked a player like that. Like, I can't believe that actually took
place. It's hard to believe.
It really is. But
he kicked him, and then the guy said, "Don't kick me," and he said, "I'll kick you whenever I want, MF-er. I'm the head ball coach."
Yeah, it's not, well, again, the whole thing. I mean, one, the way a kicker would talk back to a coach. I never heard a kicker talk like that before to anyone.
Let's not. He's fired, so we don't need to relive again.
But the reality is, with Coswell, that can't be one of the things because they already knew about it.
Exactly. You can't let a guy work.
Some, like, no different than the Ohio incident. They kept him employed after that. They spoke publicly about
correct.
It. So you can't fire someone for cause for things that you then still remain and kept them employed for.
Correct.
So the interesting thing is going to be what eventually comes out or doesn't come out. And if Shad Khan then has to basically settle and pay off, you know, a coach and most likely his entire staff. And I mean, the reality is what you're seeing now is they need to just clean house the entire place.
Yes.
Considering, like, if I'm an owner, I'm looking at it, I'm saying to myself, I probably need to remove myself from the selection process, given how many head coaches and the lack of success we've had since I've overtaken as owner. That's the first thing I'd want to look at and do. And then the next thing is why would you want to keep assistant coach on your staff that were leaking stuff out to the media? I mean, that's the reality of it. Whether it's someone in the front office or on the coaching staff, why would you want to keep them? Like, what loyalty did they then have the organization to make sure you fix things in-house or keep them in-house? So that would be the first thing I'd want to do moving forward. And then, again, like I said, take my hands off the entire thing. But, yeah, I don't change the way in anything that I said. Like, and by the way, I said this generally talking with you. We never seem to give college coaches, like, a chance to turn things around.
I don't think that that's incorrect. I mean, Urban did not get fired because the Jaguars were bad.
Well, like, is Sean McVay going to turn around the Jacksonville Jaguars in 13 games?
No.
I mean, like, no one's going to. This is a bad organization.
Yeah. So I think, what, to your point, here's what I would do is I would seek out a vice president of football operations type of person.
Tom Coughlin, because that kind of worked.
Well, no. So. Tom Coughlin didn't need to be a GM or a VP. Tom Coughlin needed to be a coach. Tom Coughlin's style –
But let me just speak to that for a second. The reality is you brought back a guy who had success in Jacksonville. And, like, the people who are there first off, different ownership group, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Wayne Weaver was in charge when
– Yeah, for the first time he was there the second time. And what happened? Like, they weren't able to kind of build out around to create that culture. And so then you bring someone else in who you're like, no, I'm a fan of their success. I'm trying to bring him to change our culture. You gave him 13 games.
Yeah.
Here's what you have to understand. And this is the hardest thing for people who don't understand, like, everything that goes on inside a locker room and a team and all of that. It's going to be awful and tough and really difficult. And it's going to stink to have to change the culture of an organization that's been this bad for such a long period of time. And it's going to be uncomfortable. Like, people aren't going to like how that change feels. And so it doesn't matter who comes in next. It's going to take a while. It usually does. It kind of always does. And it's going to be uncomfortable. And that's the reality of where they're going is whoever they bring in next, they got to give them time. Like, there's going to have to be time to let that change happen, create that change to help Trevor Lawrence, some of the other young pieces on this roster.
Yeah, I guess, and I don't disagree at all. My point was that I would tear everything out, like, gut the entire thing. and I don't know, like administrative people or anything like that. I don't want to like, you know, cancel like secretaries' jobs or anything like that. But I'm talking about from the football perspective, you need bring and just and do what is considered a normal hire. You go and get the whoever's you pick what you're find out what you want your organization, how you want the structure to be. Right? Do you want a VP of football ops and then a GM reporting to him and then a coach reporting to him? Build out your structure and then go find the best person to be at the top of that and then allow them, get your hands off it, like you say, if you're Shad Khan, bring that person in and allow them to hire the coach and the GM and to work or, you know, to build around the quarterback and be patient and give it, you know, give it 3 years. And I understand.
Well, spend some free agent money.
Yeah, I mean, they tried that though, you know.
Yeah, in the past, but not now. Like now, you've got the quarterback, right? Like this is like all on the Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Burrow. Like now, you've got the guy. Go spend around him. Yeah. I mean, the reality is, you know, when you look at the wide receiver position, Laviska Shenault's good. They've got some pieces there, but like, there's really no one with speed that can separate. It makes it difficult then to get rid of the football to design things. That I mean, we can go on and on and on, but yeah. But the truth is, it's going to take time. It's going to be a long, tough, difficult process. And I don't care who you bring in next. It's going to be ugly sometimes. Yep. But again, with what went on there, it's just cleaning house is the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole thing for me is that with under Shad Khan, you know, they had
outlier year.
Exactly. One outlier year, but they had, so, you know, you bring in, let's see, you've brought in Gus, you've had these one GM who keeps you giving him chances to swap out the coach. And then you bring in, you bring in Tom Coughlin and then Doug Marrone slides up from OL coach. It's like very, just this whole run has been very just incestuous almost where, and it clash with each other. You need to build out, find your group, your leadership group, and let them go together and work together.
I think the interesting thing too about how this whole thing ended and how it all came out, and I don't hear people talk about in the media about this, and I kind of wonder why, is how things ended in San Francisco with Trent Baalke.
Disaster.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, from running Harbaugh out.
Yep.
Bringing in Chip Kelly. Then getting Tom Sewell as the head coach.
Oh, my God.
Then
that's right.
Having 1 year with Chip Kelly that, I mean, obviously there are a lot of other things going on with the Colin Kaepernick protests and everything else, but it's like he was the common denominator.
Yes.
And then you keep him on for this year, and then look what happens. Like, I don't know why. Like, no one in the media points that kind of stuff out. And it's because, again, like, I hate to upset everyone, but a lot of people at the NFL level, they have relationships with people who are in the front office to get scoops, get all those digs, and they don't want to burn those bridges. Like, I get that. It's one of the reasons why I've continually said I think people in the NFL media hate to have college coaches come up because they don't get those scoops anymore. It's someone else who gets them. That's just it's a people person business. That's the reality, whether you want to face that truth or not.
No, it is. No doubt about it. All right, we got to go. As always, a good chat. I'm sure maybe we'll be done with Urban for now. And
we'll probably more stuff coming out.
We'll talk next week. Hopefully next week there will be no Tuesday Night Football, although I do enjoy it.
I disagree. I hope there's two.
No, well, I hope that there's not because that means games had to be moved. But I agree with you. Like, I like the idea. Okay,
all right, love Tuesday Night Football, right, Wednesday Night Football.
TNF,
give
baby.
Give me all the night's football.
TNF, give it to me. All right, Brady. Always a pleasure, buddy.